Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more, with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pogue.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh no.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more, with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pogue.
Well, greetings, and how are you? It's another week, as we say in the world of Maya, it's another heptad, and today is our first plasma, or our first day, and I am so glad to be back with you. So, as usual, we have a wonderful show for you, and we're going to talk about dependent co-arising. Dependent co-arising. Well, what am I saying to you? Well, most of us know about this disorder known as codependency, where we basically have been raised in an environment where we don't trust and we don't communicate because we have just been having difficulty in defining who we are, if we're safe, what our purpose is, to have food, to have clothing, and it has become a major problem. So now not only are we responsible for doing what? Becoming our own parents, for us learning how to discipline ourselves and take responsibility for the life that we're creating. We've even progressed on now where we have to recognize that, yes, we are dependent upon each other. However, that dependency is the fact that we are all connected. Everything we do, everything we say affects everything else. And so therefore, it's very important now that we respect the fact that what I do affects you, what you do affects me and everyone else, and we then make the decision that we're going to agree to always be the best that we can be. Now, how we're going to agree? Well, we're going to have to work it out. But first, let's talk about this connectedness, this entanglement that is upon us consciously, but it has always existed since existence began. And so without further ado, let's hear what my sponsors have to say to you, and let's get busy talking about codependent co-rising. We're becoming our own parent for ourselves as well as giving love and support to each other because we're all connected. I'll be right back after this message. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look here at what this dependent co-arising is all about. Now, this is a very interesting book I want you to acquire for your library. The Quantum Revelation, okay? The Quantum Revelation, a radical synthesis of science and spirituality. The author of this book is Paul Levy, L-E-V-Y. This is an incredible, incredible book because now we are writing about the fact that the soul has to be pulled from the heavens. Most people think of the soul in the heavens, or they always look up or around, etc. They don't see that they are it, that they literally are this aspect, their own personal aspect of the source of all things, with limitless power, limitless capabilities. But because we don't know and have not been given the owner's manual of how to function with and through a physical body, we're just kind of been hovering here, really trying to do the best that we can do. Now, at one point, trust me, we were very, very astute and savvy about knowing our origins, knowing our tools and gifts, and we were not limited to just being isolated here on planet Earth. So the stellars throughout the country indicate that we had vehicles that took us from planet Earth and to other star systems and back. We had electric lights. It's amazing when you go to Egypt, you can see helicopters carved into the stellars, helicopters, the same thing in Samaria. So we had flying vehicles where we could come and go, and then there was this whole lull where we could basically only depend on our feet. We had to recreate the wheel, literally. And then from there, we've continued to evolve in consciousness. Now we're back at the same Oedipus. Are we going to be able to now reclaim our limitless mobility, use our brains, our minds, and remember ourselves, and then be able to use mass here to create the technology needed for us to be able to go and come? And I want you to clearly understand what I'm saying to you, because I'm talking about remembering that the technology has always been in us. So whether we use the body directly as our vehicle to take flight, we have cultures that do that, or whether we decide to actually use mass and create a vehicle for us to take flight, we've done that already. We have the space station in outer space. We created that from our own memories and put it in sync and alignment with the forces governing this planet that also are responsible for keeping it afloat. It doesn't crash into its sister planets. So therefore, we have the tech. The key is to decide that we're going to use it, and what's most important, for everyone on planet Earth to get comfortable with the fact that we do have this technology within us, that we can select ourselves to be a part of a group that each and every member selects themselves to want to externalize this technology or to evolve their own tissues and nervous system where they can use the body directly for space travel. Oh, yes, that's correct. We have beings that have been coming and going here for a while. They use a neuron. They use a neuron as their spaceship. You have to understand how awesome that is, a neuron. And by entering into the neuron and going directly into the matrix grid, what we call the quantum field, it's nothing to actually disappear from one nexus in the field and reappear in another. This is what the building blocks of our reality do. At one point, they're fixed in space as a mass, and then at another moment, they are actually moving through space as a particle and a wave. So in the wave form, we're nothing but light, energy, moving through space. When we then focus on a particular destination or particular geometry, we become mass. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. So check this out now. This is very important. Dependent co-rising. And so, Mr. Levy, I want to thank you for contributing a really incredible work about spirituality, consciousness, and science. That's the key. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories here. Well, first of all, the world is made up of a network of complex interactions. We cannot speak of the reality of a discrete entity outside the context of its range of interrelations with its environment and other phenomena. Everything is related to everything. So this is to say that there is no independent, objectively existing quanta object, which is mass, that has a reality in and of itself. There is only the quantum field. So therefore, nothing can exist independent and alone of itself. We all are part of an energy field, a light field. We call it the field. Now, listen very carefully. The quantum field is the repository of this infinitely interdependent interconnectedness that characterizes and informs all conditional manifestations. So this is very important. We also are in communication with each other all of the time. So most of us still think of communication via the cell phone. We're texting or social media, or, you know, we're talking. Every thought you think can be picked up by everyone else if they align themselves to your frequency of thought. But does that mean that just because they're not on your frequency that they're thinking, their thoughts don't exist? And we know that's not true. Well, how do we know that? Well, look at the TV set. Have you ever sat there now? You know, TV used to have, what, 4 or 5 channels originally. 3, really. And then it went to 5 and 8, and it got up to channel 10. It was amazing. And now we have thousands of channels. But they all come through what? The one TV monitor. That one TV monitor, you can sit there and look at 1,000 different channels. What are you looking at? 1,000 different thoughts. You're looking at 1,000 different thoughts. So some people only look at 2 channels out of 1,000. Some people, they surf. They try to look at 50 channels every day. That's what they do, etc. And it's all by choice, but they're all connected. They're all coming through the one transmitter box. They're all being displayed on the one monitor. So even if you have a split-screen monitor, where some monitors, I see, they can have 10 or 12 different stations projecting to them, all on the same monitor. But it's still the same one monitor. So every one of those little screens that is broadcasting a different radio, TV station, they are still right next to each other, very much still connected, even though the activities can be vastly different coming through and being broadcasted through each station, but still very much connected. And so we have to begin to accept about ourselves. We still are really struggling with this communication issue. I go into the grocery store, and I've got my little cart, and I'm going up and down the aisle. And if I just didn't want to just speak to people, I accost them. And I say, hi, how are you? And they go, oh, yeah, hi. Or some people are like, oh, I'm fine, thank you. Other people, they don't even speak. They just keep on passing. Now, the key here is that we were in the one store, pay attention, in the one aisle, out of all the other aisles in the store, And we are that close together where if I don't really pay attention and guide my basket, I would have a collision with them. And then we would actually block up the whole aisle, my basket, their basket, etc. So we pay attention to that extent to make sure that we don't collide baskets, but we're still colliding energy fields. My aura, my electromagnetic energy field is spinning around my body, and it also, theirs is spinning around them. And even though our baskets may not touch, our bodies may not touch, our energy fields are always touching. See, that's what you have to remember. They're touching. And those people who really, really think a lot, who really, really are very grounded and want to basically be present. See, presence is powerful. And everything that they do, their energy field can extend for hundreds of feet. So can you imagine all the people that are walking through their energy field? Walking through their energy field. And many times people can feel it when they get into another person's energy field. They can feel overwhelmed, or they can begin to feel immediately uncomfortable, or they can immediately feel, wow, I'm so excited. Just all of a sudden, some people respond to the fact that, wow, I'm getting chill bumps. You know, I'm getting, they call it what, goose pimples. That is the interaction between two energy fields that are entangling, that are interrelating. So this is what we talk about, the dependent co-arising. And this phenomena where people are recognizing that even though I don't know you, I haven't seen you before, I have this connectedness to you, okay? I just see you and I'm just drawn to you, etc. You have to begin to start overstanding that physics. This is what we're talking about now. You've got to overstand the physics. So now check this out. Here's a little story. Now, for example, think of being in a plane high enough above the ocean so that when you look down, you aren't able to see the individual waves, but rather you only are able to see the white crest on the waves of an agitated ocean. Now, through these crests might appear to be isolated from each other, each a seeming independent entity, they are all conjoined in an expression of a giant movement of the whole. Now, what is the whole? The whole, in this case, is comprised not only of the entire ocean, but the atmosphere, the wind, the earth, and when we get right down to it, the state of the whole universe. In that very moment, all of which, when seen together, make up one indivisible quantum system. Now, this is what we are experiencing as a species on this planet. So even though I may be in Jamaica, I may be off in Alaska, where we're going very soon, etc., all of the humans on this planet literally are composing one whole, a quantum movement of one whole, which makes us a quantum system. We're a quantum system. So what we're all are doing, like, I don't know all those people that tossed their plastic bottles on the ground, okay, or tossed them in the street, on the gutters, etc. All I know is that when I go to the ocean and I can't see the ocean water because I'm just seeing a sea of plastic. Plastic bottles of all types, all shapes, plastic bags, just bubble wrap, all kinds of things. I have now been affected by all of these people and what they were thinking when they decided to discard their plastic containers. And so anyone else that would come to the shoreline with me would see it. All the people on the ships and the boats We all are affected by what we all decided to do and what just a few of us decided to do in relationship to how we were going to conduct our lives and our behaviors. This is the dependent co-arising. So it is so very, very important that we now start taking a look. You know, I had a situation just recently where we had a neighbor who we just discovered she's having a wonderful gift come to the planet. She's having a baby. And she comes and goes. She doesn't communicate very much, et cetera. And I had my dog out, and so my dog decided that he needed to urinate right then and there, and he did it and happened to be on the pavement, the driveway. So she asked me very much. She says, oh, you know, please try to get him to the grass, et cetera, because, you know, when I open my door and I come out, I could smell it. And so I was like, oh, that's very interesting. You know, so I said, no problem. You know, I definitely will take care of that. I'll do that. But she just didn't seem to be just very happy, and she was just really kind of irritated. So I don't know what about. But I thought it was very interesting. I couldn't debate with her that wasn't true, that she didn't smell it, because I know that the olfactory capacity of women who are pregnant becomes extremely acute. All I know to all of us in our household, that's one thing we always thought was so interesting about our pet, our dog. We never, ever smelt his urine. Never has any urine smell, but he doesn't drink tap water. We don't give him, you know, regular poor grade processed dog food. So he really has a whole different aroma about him because he does live with us. So contrary to our experience with him, she's having a whole different relationship, and she also is in a different condition than we're in. We're not pregnant. She is. And so therefore we recognize that her reality and how she's experiencing all of us is heightened and acutely different. So, of course, recognizing the difference, why wouldn't I want to support her? Because she's another me having a different experience, and most of all, gracing our planet with a new individual coming here to do great things. I see all the children this way. I see every adult this way. So, therefore, we want to support each other. No big thing. But I've seen it so often where people create crises like this because they really don't get it. We are dependent co-arising. We are all connected and dependent upon each other. And to the extent that it doesn't interfere with our purpose, that it is not discomforting, we should all want to support each other, because we know what? We know cycles. And we know that in cycles that you can be in one position and having one experience in one moment, and then before you can snap your fingers, you're in a total different experience, having a total different quality of interrelationship with your environment. Amazing. Now we know about it. I'll just give you a simple example. You're on your way driving to work. Boom, before you know it, somebody's hit your car. Immediately now, you have to get off the road. You've got to do what? Communicate. You didn't plan to be off on the road in whatever this junction was, talking to someone that you may have not known personally, and now you have to get into each other's business to make changes, et cetera, and you're going to respond differently. And if you understand that that person is another you, that interaction is always going to be kind and sane. But that's not happening often. So I'm going to give you some more examples about how we are affecting each other. And the more we are comfortable with ourselves, loving ourselves, having high communication, our own personal self-talk, it's real easy to be with all of the wonderful people that are part of our species, as well as the organisms, the animals, everything. So let me give you some more examples of dependent co-rising. We've got to rise to this now instead of being codependent, because our existence and the unification of our planet depends on it. I'll be right back after this message.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Yes, we've got to learn how to navigate these bodies. Did you listen to that? And becoming dependent, co-rising, where you recognize, yes, we are connected. Regardless of how often you see your neighbor or you don't see him, or whether you're just going to meet a person serendipitously because your fender touched the back of their car. We are all connected, and how we interact with ourselves, how comfortable we are with ourselves, allow us to be so comfortable and so interactive in a supportive way to each other. Now, another example I want to give you that I thought was so great, just like being up in the sky, looking down on the ocean, and we're so far above it that we only see the crest, we don't see the waves, we don't really even see the water anymore. Check this out. Now, this was astounding to me about this dependent co-rising. Now, if you look at Egypt and all the pyramids that are there, et cetera, they also have a wonderful flower that's there. They're also known for the Egyptian lotuses. And so it's like, yeah, we have the pyramids and we have the codices, et cetera. And yes, the lotuses are there. But I never was aware of the direct relationship with the lotus and the pyramids throughout Egypt. I was never aware of that. Now, what am I getting ready to tell you? Something that I found out just decades ago, later, about the lotus, one of my favorite flowers. The botanist found that out of all the different types of plants that they prepare to make micrographs, that is, that they would actually wash the leaves, wash the petals, to then fix them so that they could cut them into very, very thin, thin slices and look at them under the microscope to look at the next level of ultrastructure of the plant. Well, they noticed that every time that they wanted to interact with a species of lotus, it didn't take much preparation. They didn't have to scrub it a lot. It didn't seem to be very dirty. And they were like, well, why is this genus of plant so easy to prepare? You don't have to do a lot of washing and preparation to get it ready to look at it under microscope. Well, when they prepared it and began to look at it under the microscope, guess what the shape of the lotus flower and the lotus root is shaped like? Every cell is shaped exactly like a pyramid. I thought that was amazing. And when you look at the lotus flower, the petals, when you look at the lotus leaves, it looks like millions of little pyramids. I was like, now that is amazing that here we have these giant pyramids that are meters wide that have been here for 5,000 years, and they have constantly sketched into the colonnades, into the hieroglyphs, etc., lotus after lotus, lotus plants growing everywhere. And then the lotus itself is a pyramid. Every cell of the lotus is shaped like a pyramid. So we don't see the pyramid shape of the lotus per se, because we're used to looking at those petals. But every cell forming the petals and the lotus leaf is shaped like a little teeny microscopic pyramid. I'm like, wow, that is amazing. Now, to show how technologically savvy we can be, what did we discover? We discovered that the reason why the lotus blossom is so clean is because the angulation of the cells forming a pyramid do not allow debris or even much moisture to attach to it. Because every pyramid is angulated, correct? The sides are not just vertical. They extrude out as an angle. And so any moisture, any wind, any movement immediately dislodges any type of foreign particle or debris from the surface of the cell. So this is a fabulous, natural housekeeping maintenance quality of the lotus, that the angulation of every cell to form a pyramidal shape is auto-cleansing, self-cleansing. I was like, wow. So now, how did we use that in the outer world? Once we discovered that if you can take a surface and apply little teeny-weeny miniature pyramids all over the surface, that the surface never collects debris and dust and dirt. So guess who picked up on that knowledge and began to use it commercially? And it was the automotive industry. So when you see these cars, and you see more of them, more and more, where they don't have the high gloss, these cars are like muted. They look matte. And yeah, usually a darker color, darker grays, the browns, the blacks. But they're always clean. And if they do go through some environment that's high in dust or high in some type of moisture, etc., as the car moves, the car cleanses itself because the agitation from the wind lifts all of the particles off, because they put into the paint trillions of little teeny weeny pyramids, microscopic pyramids. So when you spray the paint on, because of the angulation, it diffracts the light. It scatters it so you don't see that high reflection mirror type surface. But the surface auto cleanses itself. And so with the matte lack of luster, you also get self-cleansing. And so there's quite a few cars now, and many of the commercial automobiles are painted this way, so they don't have to worry about constantly cleansing and polishing the car. It naturally is self-cleaning because of the dependent co-arising effect, where all the cells composing the actual one plant are structured in such a way where the entire plant remains clean and cleansed. So the lotuses are one of the cleanest species of plants that we know of. And it's because they have cell structures like miniature pyramids. And so I found that was so incredibly awesome, so fascinating. So let's just review this again. The quantum field is the respiratory repository of this infinitely interdependent interconnectedness that characterizes and informs all conditional manifestations. So we think about many of the sports stars, Serena Williams, and you know, many of the other basketball players, etc. They all affect us. We are glad and gleeful when we see them execute the incredible capabilities of their body with the ball, with bat, with racket. And we don't even know them. We may be thousands of miles away from them, But we feel the sensation of when they're running. We feel the sensation of when they're intense. We feel the sensation of when they're happy. And that's because of the quantum field. And all thoughts and all vibrations affect each other thought and each other's wavelength of vibration. So since we can prove this now, since we know this visually, we know this kinesthetically, we've got to then recognize that our decorum, how we interact with others, is very important. Because what are we doing? We're only interacting with ourselves. We're only interacting with ourselves. And so, therefore, what is your innate quality that you bring to the quantum field that allows you to know that everyone else on the field is basically going to experience you in a most magnificent and wonderful way? This is great. So, who's looking at this now scientifically? Quantum physics. So we're going to talk a little bit about quantum physics and more on dependent co-rising and how we interact with each other all of the time. We've got to become aware of that right now in consciousness. And we've got to stop thinking that, oh, what I think doesn't really matter. It all matters. Yes, it does. And what you do and what you say, it affects everybody. Yes, it does. So think about that. The quantum field. What are you doing? What are you thinking to assure that you are a pleasure on the quantum field? I'll be right back after this message.
What does the 21st century hold for you? The opportunity to create all you desire in this 21st century is awaiting you in Alaska. Come, join Dr. Jewel and the world-famous Stephanie South from the Law of Time in Anchorage in Fairbanks, Alaska, September 17th through September 23rd for a total life-transforming experience under the Northern Lights Auroras. Visit www.juis.education or call 770-383-2112 for details.
Okay, well, if you've been listening in, thank you so much. And I know this has been a really unique subject, but it's one that we have this more and more. So in the meantime, let me know what you think. Our chat room is open. Yes, it is. And you can be there with our facilitator and share your opinions. We'll take a look at those a little later. And also, too, we invite you to call us. We love hearing from you. So give us maybe about 5 or 10 more minutes and let us talk to you. You can call in at 347-215-9531. 347-215-9531. Now, let's go back to our dependent co-rising. We were talking about quantum physics. Now, this is a very interesting subject, and you still don't hear a lot about the quantum. This is the light world, okay? We've gone beyond the atomic world now, and we're down to the light particles that form the atoms. See, we're below atom level now, above atomic level. So quantum physics is pointing out that the basics of the visible world doesn't rest on a material foundation. Now, this is important. Let me read this again. Quantum physics is pointing out to us that the basis of the visible world doesn't rest on a material foundation, but rather on a realm of immaterial form, as though our world is aloof on an invisible ocean. Now, I want to pause here, and I want you to just think about that. that what you think is real and tangible, it is not. It is composed of septillions of little teeny weeny particles known as light. And even that little light particle that we call a photon, I'll spell it for you, P-H-O-T-O-N, has its subanatomy, and it's composed of quite a few other particles, the gluons, the bosons, the fermions, and it goes even more microscopic until you can't even see this with the eye. So therefore, by the time you see something gross in your hand, like a hamburger, your hamburger that you're eating, your piece of chicken, it is composed of particles that get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller till what you think is material, but it's not. It is the coalescence, the bonding of all of these just septillions of little teeny weeny light particles that have come together in a geometric format that finally, to your naked eye, appears as a hamburger, a piece of chicken. But all the time you've been eating pure light. Now that to me is just a mind blower. It just freaks me out. I'm like, what? I'm eating light? This hamburger is light. This chicken is light. My glass of water is pure light. In the quantum field, everything is composed of invisible particles that only when they come together in huge numbers do we actually see what we call reality. So therefore, we now know that physically existing entities are spread throughout space and that the quantum fields are immaterial information waves of what? Of probability. So in other words, we have waves of pure potential, pure possibilities. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So what does that say to you? That says to you that, we'll use another example. That says to you that when you go to a banquet, a lot of people go to what? The Golden Corral, right? Okay, so maybe you're not from a city that has a Golden Corral, so I'll tell you what it is. It is a restaurant where they have, like, oh my gosh, it's a smorgasbord, and they have all kind of foods from, you know, raw juices to salads to stuff that's been grilled and barbecued, etc. And you can pick whatever you want, how much you want. But it's all light. It all comes from the one source. And so let's break it down even further. You go to the chicken area. Okay, if you eat chicken, you go to the chicken area. And the chicken area has baked chicken, roasted chicken, fried chicken, smothered chicken, Chinese General Tso's chicken. And they have 7 or 8 different types of the one bird chicken. And when you look at each course of chicken, it all looks different. The fried chicken looks real different than the chicken chow mein. And the roasted chicken looks different than the fried chicken. It just is amazing as we go on. But it's the one source, the one chicken. All from the one source, all handled differently, which causes them to present themselves differently in space. How we see that? We see the fried chicken does not look like the roasted chicken or the chicken chow mein, but it's the same thing. And if we look beyond the surface, the illusion, we see that it is the same thing. It's all light vibrating in different angles at what? Different frequencies. So that's even true for the humans, that when we see somebody who's real tall or when we see someone who's very small and petite, they actually are formed out of the same light that all humans are formed from. But they are vibrating differently, and their light particles are moving through space at a different rate and a different angulation. Now, I have to pause here and let you think on this. This is profound. Because I'm telling you, what you see is not what you really see. It's not what it really is. But you see the end manifestation of the thought of the individual's thoughts that captured the light in a particular way geometrically. And all of that light accumulated in that geometry and then became dense enough to block your vision, to capture your vision, to give you shape and form and motion as though it was as solid as can be and that this was the real, real thing. And this is really interesting. That's why we talk about quantum physics, because that piece of chicken is the real, real thing. When you bite into it, when you smell it, when you chew it, it is the chicken. But chicken is light. So whether it's fried or whether it's baked or whether it's chicken chow mein, it's all light. And when we become dependent, co-rising, we never lose sight of the truth of what we're always dealing with. Now I'm going to have to say that again because this is profound for you. If you get this today, it's going to change your life and your relationship with everyone and everything. Because you are composed of the same light as the chicken chow mein, the baked chicken. You are composed of the same light of the individual next door to you, the individual 5,000 miles away from you. The individual that lives on the other side of the city, you're composed of the same thing. And we find that this is the reason why we have this horrendous disorder, horrendous psychological dis-ease known as dissonance. Yes, dissonance, cognitive. That in your thinking, you intentionally are thinking that this person is different from you, that this person has no relationship with you, that this person couldn't possibly be in any way related to you. It can't even be you in any form. We treat it like a thing, and therefore we can treat it differently than we would ever think about treating ourselves. Cognitive, that means you are thinking this way intentionally. Dissonance, that you definitely are not in any way giving them, in your awareness, any credence that they are exactly like you. So in the illusion, you think that you can treat them differently. Oh, and we do it all the time. It doesn't have to be so drastic as whether the person has male or female genitals. Oh, no, it doesn't have to be so drastic as to whether the individual has colored skin or what we call non-colored melanin recessive skin. No, it doesn't have to be that extreme. It could be two women. One has brown hair, the other one has red hair. And in their minds, they conjure up the fact that, well, I don't like brunettes. I never have liked them. It's just something not right about them having brown hair. And the brunette can say there's just something strange and just unnatural about someone that whose head looks like a match. And so therefore, they can walk around their entire life thinking that they don't have any relationship with each other, even though they're both female, they both have one head, two eyes, one nose, a mouth, two arms, torso, legs, etc. So much alike in all levels except this one variation, and they would treat this person and speak to this person, if they would speak to them, as though they would not like to be treated and spoken to. Check that out. How many times have you done that? Now, we'll be right back after this break. I have a few more words to say, and then I want to go to the telephones and hear what you have to say about seeing everything for what it really is, that it is another you, that it's composed of light, just like you are, and that you are occupying the same space, but having a different external formation, but never the core and the essence of what you are will never change. Think about that. I'll be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Okay, well, it's getting close to the end of our show, and I love you, and I definitely always want to hear what you have to say, but we've got to get this concept. It's very important for us moving deeper into the 21st century. Dependent co-rising. That means that, yes, I don't know him by name, I don't know their parents, but he's a light being, just like me. We come from the same source. She's a light being, just like me, coming from the same source. I'm taller. She's slimmer. She walks different, but she's still me. He's still me. And if we understand that, then what is the core standard that you're always going to address yourself as? Are you always going to be able to say, I love you? Are you always going to be able to talk to yourself in such a way, I am power, I am light, I am love, I am capable of doing whatever I put my mind on, and all life is a part of me because we're all light. Practice this. It means such a difference. So what do you say about being dependent, co-rising? No more blame and you don't know them and they deserve to be treated this way, that even though I wouldn't want to. No. Of course, we have to look at how light is manifesting in our lives. But we have to remember it's the thinking that causes the light to take on unique characteristics, not the light itself. So, my dear engineer, can we go to the phones? We have anyone that wants to talk to us and give us their rendition about this dependent co-rising? We're not going to be codependent anymore. We're dependent co-rising. How about that? Nobody wants to say anything. Talk to me about that. Well, that's okay.
235, you're unmuted. Caller 235, do you have a question?
Okay, well, I was focusing on being very thorough, that I was definitely going to make sure I explained this in such a way that everybody could understand. So let's take a look at this. What's happening in our chat room? What are you all chatting about over there? Okay, what's the chat about? Any chatting going on? No chatting going on? Okay. Well, let's do it this way. I want us to all come together under the primordial lights. The primordial lights are the auroras, the aurora borealis, okay? The aurora australialis, and we are going in September to the aurora borealis north. Why? Because that is where the information, the light, is coming from outer space, beyond the ninth dimension, beyond multiple star systems, to do what? To prime us for life in the 21st century. We are upgrading ourselves. We're in the upgrade stage of our evolution. And they keep telling you that. Look, people are saying, okay, you come to my company, your history of high blood pressure, diabetes, etc., and four generations before you. Okay, you get pregnant and make sure that I get the ovum, etc. I'll tweak that out. So it won't be in the genes anymore, so the children won't have to deal with that. But guess what? Did you know that you could tweak it out? It's just only how light is moving through space relative to your thinking. So diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, all are predicated on thinking, which determines how the light particles are going to orientate themselves and collapse into mass into this third dimensional reality. So you don't need anyone to tweak it out of the physical realm in the form of a gene. You can tweak it yourself by changing how you think. If you have diabetes, you can change it in your tissues by changing your thinking. The thinking then causes the brain to release specific chemicals that will change the quality of your blood, and that blood, when it goes into your organs, will change the organ function. This is 21st century technology. So, of course, it's just like if you don't want to clean your house, you can hire someone else to do it for you. But you should also know how to clean your house, regardless of whether you hire someone or not. So you have diabetes, you should know how to be able to think properly to change the quality of your blood so that your tissues will not dysfunction. So if you want to then, again, take medication to change the tissue function for you, of course, you have the right to do that, but you should know that you're going to be stuck on medication because you're not changing your thinking. So I say to you, do the research, do the experiment, change your thinking, and watch how the need for your body to have to take insulin and hypoglycemic drugs is going to wean itself off of that because you changed the blood quality, because you changed your thinking, you changed how light collapses in response to your thinking. And your body is showing you what your thinking is doing to it. Change the thinking, which means the brain function changes and the body changes because you change the quality of blood. This is the great thing about understanding the quantum field and its limitless potentials. We are in the quantum field. We are all here together, dependent, co-arising. And our willingness to recognize that at the core level, we're all light beings. We all come from the same source. And that it's important for you to treat yourself in the way you love to be treated and to treat yourself as it appears to be another person as you love to be treated. And all you have to do is just accept the fact that you're light and that the particles of light collapse into mass based on your thinking. That's right. So 50 Cent, he used to talk about he had his mind on his money and his money on his mind. And look at what he did. He collapsed that money into his reality because that's the only thing he thought about. Now, of course, other things happened in his life that he didn't attend to because he didn't have his mind on it. But he knew that if I put my mind on that, I can collapse the light into taking care of this too. But now when we walk around and don't think that we can change things, when we walk around and think that other people are not us just because they dress different or they're different height, we're not seeing the truth. We're not seeing that that person is light and that person is behaving and presenting itself the way that they do because of how they think. So how are you to respond to them? Because if you respond to them in a way that you wouldn't want to be responded to, guess what? That's going to adversely affect you. Yeah, so that's how we get into the drama and we get into all of this aggression because we're forgetting that we're all the same quantumly. please pay attention to this. I love it. No more codependency, thinking you're a victim, depending on other people to do for you what you have always been able to do for yourself. Think, and think the highest, so that the light that we're all composed of will always collapse and materialize in the highest for you. I love you very much. I'll be back next week and tomorrow. Stay tuned for Dr. Pearman, the PNI show, Psychoneuroimmunology. Bye-bye. I love you much. Take care.